officials for the two provincial departments. It's 9:30 on my watch. If Chairperson would allow just a minute or two, we still have members that are busy logging in, Chairperson. I would need maybe just one member for us to have a quorum. If we'll just allow for a minute or two, thank you.
All right, this guy.
Morning, Chairperson. Once again, morning, members of the Portfolio Committee and MECs and senior officials from the Provincial Education Departments, the DG. Chairperson, we may start now, Chairperson, if you are available.
No, it's fine. We can start. Llewellyn, morning everybody. Morning. I believe the DM is in the meeting, the DG. Morning to the provinces that are in the meeting. The Eastern Cape and the KZN. Also the Tatula Kimteta from KZN, can you mute your mic? Thank you. We are greeting you on this International Women's Day, the 8th of March. Hopefully that we are still conscious of women's rights and taking care of our women, firstly at home and everywhere else. With that as it may, we all understand that our meeting basically is because of the oversight visits that we had in KZN and in Eastern Cape last year in February, where we visited Mount Fletcher and Matatiele district in the Eastern Cape, and also the Taupo and Umzimkhulu in the KZN. So, Llewellyn, can you just do a roll call for us?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I have yourself, Honorable Mbinga Gigaba. I have Honorable Aduins, Honorable Siwela. I have Honorable Van der Walt. I have Honorable Mashabela. I have Honorable Dr. Tembekwayo. And I have Honorable Norbo. I have one apology so far for the portfolio committee, that is from Honorable Yabo Chairperson, and then from the ministry, I have received an apology from Minister Mochecha due to an NCCC meeting that she has to be attending this morning. Thank you, Chairperson.
All right. Thank you very much. Those are the apologies and the attendance. Honorable members, on our agenda, like I had mentioned, that we've got the follow-up on the recommendations that we have made in KZN in Eastern Cape. And then after that, we would consider and adopt the minutes of the previous meeting. Can I then have the adoption of the agenda? Can we adopt the agenda? Honorable at once.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to yourself, the Deputy Minister, the MEC, members of the Portfolio Committee, and all the officials in the meeting. I move to adopt the agenda as it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Any seconder? Any person to second the adoption of the agenda?
Honorable Chairperson.
Yes, all over.
Yes, Honorable Chairperson, my apologies first. My network is very unstable, but I would second the agenda as it is and as it has been proposed.
Thank you very much, Siyabonga. Thank you very much, honorable members. In this moment, then, can I give over to the DM to lead the political overview?
Chair, thank you very much. And we appreciate that you invited us to this meeting where you based on the visit that you had in the two provinces. And yes, after your visit, Chair, the provinces sat down and looked at the issues that were raised, but not only those issues, they went beyond, because those that the issues that were raised by the Portfolio Committee are not necessarily the issues in the only issues in the province. So we really appreciate the visit and that you made us to be on our toes to be able to give services to the people of South Africa. Chair, we submitted presentations to the Portfolio Committee, but want just to apologize that we had to, when we looked at the presentations ourselves, we felt that no, we needed to beef up the presentation. That's why today we'll have new presentations, not the some that I knew we submitted, but we sat down with the two provinces, we looked at what they presented, but we felt that they needed to add. That's why this apology, Chair. And in the meeting, we have both the MECs from KZN and Eastern Cape and the HODs and senior officials from the two provinces. So here we are, Chair, to present ourselves to you as Department of Basic Education in South Africa. With your permission, maybe I can say the two MECs in the agenda I see is a KZN. The MEC can just outline the overview, thereafter give to HOD to present. With your permission, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much,
Just a minute. Yeah. Just a minute. MEC, I see the head of MEC Eastern Cape is up. MEC Kade.
Yes, yes, thanks, Chairperson. Good morning to you. Good morning to DM. Good morning to the committee members at the secretariat of the committee. No, Chair, I just wanted to intervene promptly because on the apologies, Chair, I had a crisis of the HOD who is sick, is here in the meeting, but I said she will have to quickly go and consult a doctor. So I don't want to speak on that one when she is not around. So I just wanted to sensitize you, Chair, about that precautionment that we have. But is in the meeting now. But I felt like she would have to go and consult a doctor with immediate effect.
Okay. No, that's fine. I believe you would have somebody that would take over the presentation, MEC?
Yes, yes. Yes, yes, no, we are ready. No, we are ready, Chair. There is no problem.
Okay. No, that's fine then. It's fine. You can proceed, MEC KZN.
No, thank you so much, Honorable Chair, and all the Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, Deputy Minister, and the entire team from the National Department of Education.
Recording in progress.
In the Eastern Cape, Chair, with your permission and without further waste of time, I will request that the HOD take us through the presentation, which is in response of the issues raised by the Portfolio Committee emanating from the visits you undertook to KZN. I also want to indicate, Chair, that I'm not necessarily that well, so you will have to pardon me if I disappear before the end of the meeting, but I thought it's important that we respect the meeting because at least it's virtual. So if the time comes where I will need to go and consult the doctor before the end of the meeting, Chair, I will request your permission to do so. But Mr. Ngobo, Chair, let me also formally introduce him. He's a newly appointed HOD for the Department of Education in KwaZulu-Natal. He assumed office on the 1st of March this year, but he is a seasoned administrator who has been with the department for many, many years, and now he's at the helm of leading the department as appointed by the Premier to be the HOD for DOE. With your permission, Chair, thank you so much. I can then hand over to Mr. Ngobo.
Thank you very much, MEC. Let me greet the Honourable Chair, the Deputy Minister, and the Honourable Members of the Portfolio Committee, as well as their colleagues from both the Eastern Cape and KZN. Let me indicate that I'm using a gadget that will appear here as Lucky Mpeto. It's actually me. I had a slight problem with my own gadget. We did submit our presentation, but I don't seem to see it here in my being, it being shared here. Oh, now I see it. I see it. I think what we're going to start off by.
Yeah. Sorry, can we just agree that Max, we are giving you 45 minutes to present.
45 minutes.
More than that.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm going to try and make it less than 45 minutes, possibly 40. The structure of our presentation, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, is as follows. We looked at all the resolutions of the Portfolio Committee taken when they did the visits to the schools that they visited in Herigwala District. And we, in order to simplify our reporting process, as well as for ease of reading our report and understanding it, we've grouped the resolutions according to schools, and further groups them in terms of finance-related matters, curriculum-related issues, learner transport, infrastructure delivery matters, and human resource issues. Those are the main issues on which the portfolio committee made the recommendations, and as such, our response will be we'll follow that pattern. For ease of following the presentation, on the left, you will see the recommendation by the portfolio committee, and the column on the right will indicate or will show our response as a Department of Education. So that is how the presentation is going to flow. If we can move on. The finance issues in the main were relating to the procurement of COVID-19 essentials. Members would remember that it was 2021, and it was at the time when schools were just opening or about to open, and the portfolio committee was looking at our readiness. Therefore, issues of PPEs were of prime importance as we're about to reopen our schools. And the committee's concern was our readiness and whether we'd actually ensured that all the PPEs, and accountability for payment for such had been, I must indicate that yes, indeed, all PPEs for all our schools had been bought and done through the correct SCM processes as following guidelines both from the Department of Health and the National Treasury. The PPEs were acquired through competitive prices, and payments were done to suppliers after all SCM requirements were met and the value of money was received. The process, by and large, we are satisfied that it went well. There were issues of, some irregularities pointing to certain individuals, and investigations were done, and some of the colleagues were placed on suspension and have undergone disciplinary processes as we speak, and some of the cases have been finalized. We've received the reports, and we are dealing with the reports where there were irregularities. But on the whole, the process of buying PPEs, went well in spite of those cases of individuals which we are dealing with. The next group of issues talks to curriculum-related issues. Krumok, a school in Krumok in Umzimkulu was visited, and the portfolio committee resolved that the provincial department must assist and support through
reporting in progress.
Again, physical size has been improved by at least, close to 2%. Thanks to some of the recommendations made by the members of the portfolio committee. Although the resolution of the portfolio committee centered on mathematics and physical sciences, the table below there shows that we did look just for information of the portfolio committee at other science-related subjects as to what improvement was recorded there. I mean, there is always that relationship in the sciences that if you improve your performance in mathematics, it will possibly have a ripple effect on your physical sciences and your cultural sciences and other science subjects. And that is the lessons that we are learning, which is saying we must really concentrate on improving our performance in mathematics in particular. Then at Ikopo High School, the committee said that we must ensure that all schools who had not received LTSM, they must receive the LTSM prior to the delivery of schools. Indeed, that happened, even in Section 21 schools that order LTSM on their own, Ikopo High School being one of those, the LTSM was indeed received on time, and in all our schools, there was 100% delivery of LTSM before schools reopened in 2022, because we normally do our delivery during the months from October to December. That's the time when we do our delivery. And in January, just before schools close, we wind up and ensure that those that may have missed the end of the deadline, that when we opened, I mean, when the new year starts, we deliver even to them. There are figures there given in terms of the quantities that were supplied to the schools. But the most important figure is that 100% was delivered for both stationery and textbooks before the schools reopened. Ikopo High School, the committee recommended that we look closely into coding and robotics. And on the right, we are reporting that we have started providing coding and robotics resources since 2020, and we started training. The training is ongoing, particularly for the foundation phase, where these important subjects have been introduced. And we are indeed continuing with that. In terms of the plans that we have, the budget for MST, Math, Science and Technology grant, that's a conditional grant, will be used to purchase, among other things, coding and robotics laboratories. So indeed, we have taken heed of the recommendations of the portfolio committee, in relation to those subjects that, are speaking to jobs of the future, really, which is one concept, one thing that as a department, we are really following up the question of training our learners to fit in a world where some of the jobs that we have now will be redundant, and there will be jobs that will be dominant in the future. And that is why we're beginning to remodel our curriculum from GET phase upwards along those lines. The next resolution, at the bottom there are past percentages relating to how we did in technical subjects, because the resolution was saying that we must ensure that we upskill the teachers of technical subjects. We did so, most of the subjects were being written for the, I think, second time last year, and we saw marked improvement in terms of performance in them. Civil services 100%, construction 97.8, woodworking 99.4, technical sciences and technical mathematics not too bad, although we are looking closely at technical mathematics to see if we can actually improve. We can't say we are not happy with the progress made, although not 100% happy. There's always room for improvement, given the fact that these subjects, are being introduced and examined you know, it's tentative years really in which this is happening. As we gain more experience and as we train our teachers in them, we are certain that our performance in this subject will actually improve. Let's move on to Impunga High School. Impunga High School was also visited. There, the main issue has that when we got there, there was an issue of resources, computers that were stolen, which speaks to the issue of security as well. We were able to replace stolen resources, including computer software and hardware. We reconnected those devices, and learners continue using them. And that is why in 2021 we didn't have any problems with subjects like computer applications technology, because we had already replaced those resources that had been stolen in that specific school. We also went to Nombeo Full Service School, and the resolution taken there was in respect of the drop in learner performance that we had to ensure as a province that we support the school. Indeed, our academic improvement plan was devised such that schools that had a drop in learner performance, or schools that were underperforming in generally or in specific subjects were being targeted. I mean, there was targeted assistance for those. And in the province as a whole, we saw the results of our targeted intervention, where we eliminated completely schools that actually get 0%, and we increased schools that where all learners pass. Learner transport issues across all schools visited. I think the portfolio committee noted that there are a number of schools which deserve, number of learners which deserve to be provided with learner transport, but which are not being provided with learner transport, and they resolved that the province must continue its engagements with National Treasury for additional funding. Indeed, we are doing that. We are continuing. Currently, we have 67,000 learners who are benefiting from learner transport, but we have a waiting list of just over 100,000 learners who deserve to be transported, but who are not because of budgetary constraints that we reported even to the portfolio committee when they were there in that school. The next item talks to general psychosocial support in our schools. And that was a prominent issue because of the COVID pandemic, where learners and educators had themselves been affected by COVID, either by being sick or losing their lives through this pandemic, and we increased indeed our services relating to psychosocial support of learners. At the end of February this year, for example, we reported to our oversight structures that we had already counseled and provided support to about 1,604 learners, and we also are looking at also dealing with learners and counseling them on risky behaviors. We have tried to increase our capacity by training 352 educators to render at least frontline psychosocial support for learners, because in terms of the filling of posts, again, because of budgetary constraints, out of 60 posts for psychologists and social workers, only 22 are filled. And that is why we are trying to increase our capacity
by training, teachers, at least to render that frontline psychosocial support, because they are the first educators, the first to see when there's something, going wrong with the learners. We have given resources for learners on psychosocial issues, e.g. bullying, cyber safety, human trafficking, child abuse. We've developed and regarding those things that are affecting our learners and our communities. The next big item that the portfolio committee looked at focused on in the school visits was the question of the provisioning of water for our schools. They resolved that the provincial department, in collaboration with the relevant stakeholders and municipalities, must ensure that all schools are supplied with adequate running water. Indeed, as a department, we have signed service level agreements with all districts within the province, including Herigwala, the district that we have visited, for the supply and delivery of water to our schools. In addition to that, the department is also rolling out the installation of boreholes as a permanent intervention, because we've realized that sometimes it would depend on the supply of water from our municipalities may not be an adequate response to water shortages, because if the municipality itself is actually struggling with providing water to the community in general, obviously the schools will be affected. Hence our intervention now of actually trying to provide water in each school by drilling boreholes wherever possible, so that each school does not necessarily depend on the supply of water from the municipality, but it has its own source of water through the borehole program that we've embarked on, which of course we will keep on reporting on to oversight structures as to the progress that we are achieving in it. Impunga Full Service School, the issue there was overcrowding of the school. Even last year, after that visit, we supplied the school with some mobile classrooms to support additional learning, to add additional learning spaces. Then there was a question of ablution facilities in that school. The contractor is on site as we speak. They are there to add ablution facilities in that school. The progress stands now at 65%, and we are anticipating that by 31st of May 2022, we will have completed those additional ablution facilities that we're putting up in this school. The portfolio committee also realized that there were drainage issues there in that school. Indeed, again, we're attending to the drainage problem there. We've realized that some of the things that we're doing now are just for a temporary measure to try to get the drainage system in order. But there's a need for major updates, really. And we've prioritized the 2022 financial year, the budget for it. Some of it will go towards a total overhaul of the drainage system and other upgrades in that school. I think this was an issue around safety, and the committee resolved that we must ensure that the school adopts the adopted COP initiative would curb vandalism. This particular school and all others in the province have functioning safety and security committees, and our governance unit is looking into that, ensuring that our schools have functioning safety and security committees. And principals and SGPs in this school and all our schools have regular engagements with local police, and they usually request them to do random searches of the of learners. Daniel Mzamo Special School, that's another school that was visited. The
Chairperson, my apologies, Chairperson, Mr. Mteto. I've got an indication that Mr. Mahada on his side is having connectivity problems, and if you are able to flight the presentation from your side, if not, I am on standby to do it on your behalf.
Okay. We'll try and do that as we continue to present. Let me just finish on the Daniel Mzamo Special School. The school, the committee resolved that the provincial government must look into the question of current learner numbers and attract more inclusive learners with severe disabilities. I think this seems to be happening. I mean, it did happen. In fact, as we speak now, the enrollment sort of exceeds, the capacity. The school is attracting a number of learners, and it's becoming one of those where we end up having to increase our learning spaces. We are trying to upload it from our side as well. Yeah. Daniel Mzamo Special School, again, the department ensured that a provision that learners exiting the school are supported in accessing TVET colleges. Indeed, we are doing that. We are trying to assist. We're assisting the schools, and it's part of a pilot where we have teamed up with TVET colleges to ensure that learners getting out of Daniel Mzamo and other schools and other like schools are supported to get into tertiary, to get into TVET institutions. The next one was Nombewu Full Service School. The provincial department must continue its work on the eradication of MAT schools. Indeed, the department has a program of ensuring that MAT structures in schools are actually eradicated. The phenomena that exists, particularly in our Herikwala side of in our Herikwala district, is that even where a school has been built, it would have been built, on land or on premises where, before the government built the school, there were, inappropriate structures that were being used, and the term mat structures is a common term. Although when you go there, you don't really find a mat structure, but you do find, structures that are inappropriate. In many of them, the schools have converted them after brick and mortar structures were built. They've converted those mat structures into storerooms and so on. And we have a program of demolishing those and replacing them with brick and mortar. But generally, it's structures that remained even after a proper school, brick and mortar school, had been built. So it would be a block, for example, that had been built by the community that still remains an inappropriate structure. Then we went to Mhlaba Combined School, renovation and refurbishment of damaged classrooms. Indeed, we're pleased to report that the school has been prioritized in the department's repairs and renovation program for repairs. So it is in line for those repairs. Again, the next issue there in that school was water, and we've already responded on the question of water. So I'm not going to read our response because it's the same as our response for water issues in all our schools. Mhlaba combined, there was also an issue of considering assisting and supporting Zulu with possible phasing out of grade 8 to 12 and transfer these learners to the nearest high school. Indeed, we are looking at that. Only problem is that the nearest high school is Josana High School, and it is actually used to full capacity on its own, which would make it difficult to transfer any learners from that school to to another. But there is a transformation of the schooling system process which is underway, where we're consulting parents and all structures in relation particular to changing the types of schools. So where we have primary schools and secondary schools, and trying to eliminate or doing away where possible, schools that have overlapping grades, where it's a primary school but it has one or two grades that are supposed to be in secondary schools, and that is that challenge in KZN is basically found in Herigwala district, because that was the typology of schools under the then homeland government of Transkei, where most schools started from grade 1 to grade 9, and we are in the process really of phasing out those grades, so that we have only two types of schools. We were asked also, the next question is on an issue of water again, and the response has already been provided on water. In Vulekani Primary, the issue is security again. I think we've also responded there on the issue of security, where the committee was saying we must encourage partnerships with the local police and policing forums between our schools, and we are doing that. Vulekani Special School, there was also an issue of PPN in 2022, which we attended to, and in 2022 again we've issued PPN certificates to all schools, including Vulekani. In Krumuk, again the issue there was issue of pit toilets, right, and we are pleased to say that the school is part of the SAFE program and is currently at design stage. In other words, we are looking into eradicating pit toilets indeed in that school, which is in Umzinkulu. There were a few HR issues which were raised. In the main, HR issues raised by the committee and found to be an issue or a problem by the portfolio committee. With their contracts expiring at the end of March. Indeed, at that time, we had quite a number of them who were unpaid, but we have since resolved that problem. And as KZN, we believe we have actually permanently resolved it, because in the new group of PYI youth, we have now decided to pay them through PESAR. And of course, we've developed risk mitigating strategies, because we understand very well that paying temporary people or contract people on PESAR has its own risks. But we are confident that our risk mitigating strategy is actually working. But the problem of them not being paid in KZN has been permanently resolved, because they are now on PESAR. They have a pay date, and they get paid, all of them get paid on that date. And those that drop out of the program are terminated immediately, and to avoid paying them when they are no longer there. And we've been working very well with our principals and districts to ensure that that happens. Filling of vacant posts and question of water challenges. Water challenges have been addressed. In our schools, we fill posts, following, of course, due process as and when they arrive. Where we're struggling is with the Public Service Act posts, and that is where we have to obtain the permission of the, we have to get approval from the Office of the Premier to fill those posts. But the school-based posts are actually exempted. There was also an issue of the TPN in Mhlaba combined, and we investigated it and we found that the TPN was actually correct. And in 2022, we've issued them again with a correct post provision norm. And where schools query their TPNs, we always attend to them. And, in fact, we give our schools formulas that we use to calculate the TPN. That is why they are able to query. And then we calculate together and usually we come to the same, the answer or the same results as the department has issued them. But where a genuine mistake or misallocation of TPN has happened, we do correct it. In Krumo primary schools, again, the issue there was
I was also in progress.
Security again in the school. I think we have already responded to the issue of security in our schools. Safe to say that we do have a safety and security strategy, which looks at security in schools holistically, rather than looking at providing a warm body at the gate, as the only measure of security. I think our strategy is that of involving communities in protecting schools, because we believe that would be a lasting solution if we deal with the mindset of communities in their relations to the schools will go a long way towards protecting our schools. And also if we instill the fact that the protection of schools is not the responsibility of the department alone, but basically it's a societal responsibility. And it should be a joint effort between, all communities, and our Department of Education, as well as other relevant departments like the police, community safety and lives in our province, as well as structures such as structures of traditional leaders, amakhosis, induna. All of us have a role in ensuring that our schools are protected. So in short, our security strategy looks much more broader than just the provision of a security guard in the school. Thank you very much. That ends our presentation and our response to the resolutions taken by the portfolio committee. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Chairperson, are you available?
I'm available. I thought they would just proceed. Okay. Can we hand over to you then, MEC Eastern Cape? And then you can then hand over to whoever that must present.
Thanks, Chair. Once more, good morning to you. Good morning to the Deputy Minister. Good morning to MEC Mshengu, DG, HODs presently here, committee members, and the staff of the committee itself. Chair, without wasting time, I have already indicated that we will have to make a presentation through DG Jwakati, on the basis that the HOD has fallen sick, and we sincerely apologize for that hiccup. But however, we've made a provision because we came here with a delegation of a formidable team that can make a bit of a presentation. We must again, apologize for the hiccups on the drafting of the reports themselves. I think it should be the third, if not the fourth version, this one. Hence, I'm then saying we had to make some panel pitting on some of the information so that we don't mislead this house and also respond appropriately using the decorum that is expected in a house sitting like this one. So my sincere apology, Chairperson, for that, that we have sent a last version during the morning of today. Through you, can I then, without wasting time, invite Titi Jwakati to lead the presentation and afterwards take it back to you, Chair.
He can proceed, anything.
Thank you, Chair. Am I audible?
Yes, you are, DGG, and please take note, you are given 45 minutes marks to present.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. We had a problem of
they stuck. Thank you. The overview, Chair, is the purpose for the school visits, terms of reference, schools visited, findings from engagement with the department officials, findings from school visits, as well as general findings that were shared with us by the committee. Chair, the oversight visit was to assess the opening of schools and the state of school readiness for the 2021 academic year. Six schools were visited in the Eastern Cape, Ithabane in Jokabi, Sidinane Sena Secondary School, as well as Mount Fletcher Special School, Alfred the West in Amaluti,
in Maludi. It's Mushash Agricultural School, Sever Special Schools, and Manguzela. These are in Maludi. In terms of reference, Chair, I won't repeat. They were very clear, focus on impact of COVID-19, as well as state of admissions and registration of learners, provision of learner support material, staff establishment in schools, STB vital role in governance, measures to deal with dropout rates, access to ICT, as well as practical support to educators and non-teaching staff that were impacted by COVID-19. Chair, the methodology was based on the presentations, discussions, school visits, debriefing, findings and progress that were made. Out of the discussion between the department and the portfolio committee, there are five findings, Chair, that were prominent. The first one, the committee recommended that the department should report all challenges at times to the National Department of Education for further assistance where there are blockages. Secondly, the department is to ensure that vacant educator positions are filled as a matter of urgency. And then thirdly, the department to ensure that they're able to utilize not only Funza Lushaka graduates, but all educator graduates in the province. And then last but not least, the department to address issues of non-payment of EEIs as they were, just to ensure that they are paid, as well as ensure that plans to deliver LTSM in schools is guaranteed. On the filling of educator or vacancies, dealing with vacancies, Chair, the department resolved to proportionally prioritize employment of educators and substantive vacant posts in the following order. One, we have what we call educators additional to the establishment. So they are the priority in terms of funded vacancies. Then the second one is Funza Lushaka graduates that are matching our vacancy profiles. And then thirdly, it's Matthew Gwenewa graduates matching vacancy profile. And then last but not least, self-funded and unemployed graduates. So in all of these, Chair, we try to deal with availability of a teacher in class, but the order of preference is as recommended by the department. Then there are pressures in terms of demand and supply, push and pull sectors. In this case, as a department chair, we're looking at how the age profile of the teaching corps is putting pressure on teacher availability in the Eastern Cape over the next 5 years. If you look at the principalship, particularly from 59 to 64, and you look at that category, it's almost 1,900 teachers that we are likely to lose as a pressure point in terms of the age category. So over the next 3 to 5 years, we'll have a very big challenge. Gap to principals, again, 55 to 64, we have almost 400. It's almost like 500, you know, that we are likely to experience that are going to leave. But where it's important is the post-level ones, where the demand and supply equation plays a bigger role between the age group 55 up to 64. It's 7,027 as well as 1,902 on the age group 60 to 64, which puts a lot of pressure in terms of the teacher demand in the province. Deliveries of stationery, Chair, to report that we have reported 100% of stationery packs to schools. Only 5 PODs are outstanding, which makes Amatole East the only district that has 99% because of those. Currently, the department, together with the project office, is consolidating all remedial data from schools and district coordinators up until the 10th to report on any shortages that are coming from schools. I'm not going to go into deeper analysis of schools allocated, schools completed, and all of this because the percentage just tells the story. On the schools visited, Chair, I just want to highlight that stationery at Ititabane, grade R up to grade 7, and these are the packs that were delivered. Grade R being the lowest is 232, and then the senior phase, grade 7 packs, 236. Then Sitinani, these are also the packs, the grade, but what's important here is that between grades
10, 11, and 12,
there were technical tests because the school had a technical component as well as a commercial component with City Nane, and these are the numbers of tests that were delivered at City Nane. At Mushesh, Sina Secondary School, for all of our grades 10, 11, and 12, it's the ordinary tests, but they don't have a commercial stream, but they have a technical stream, which from grades 10, 11, and 12, and these are the numbers that were delivered. Then the third area of findings in terms of the discussion was the payment of EAs and GAs perfect. Chair, the bulk of it is background information, where I want to take you straight to reconciliation of where we are with payment of EAs. I will skip these slides up until I get to the slide that says payment status of EAs and GAs November/December. And this is where the summary gives a lot of sense in terms of who has been paid and not paid. As of December and November payments, the number of schools were 32, and the number of school of EAs that were not paid was 130. The number of schools and EAs paid for the period December-November, schools is 1,100. The number of schools is 5,106, and the number of EAs is 39,791. And the total in terms of number of schools is 5,138, and then the number of EAs is 39,921. So if you go straight into unpaid, you will see that the number of schools in November, December were 32 that were not paid, and the number of EAs were 130. Then the payment status in terms of January, which is the latest in terms of payments that were inserted and that were made, is that the grand total again is 39,921 EAs, and the number of schools is 1,138. The number that was paid out of that 39,000 was 34,709, and the number that was not paid is 5,212. The department chair has then engaged in a process that had to deal with expediting the payments. So the delays that were experienced were due to network challenges, sometimes malfunctioning on national treasury system, technical error experienced due to lack of understanding of the new bulk processing system received from provincial treasury, which was almost a big challenge in terms of these numbers. So the file for the remaining school was due to be uploaded on the 3rd, but they have now pushed to the 8th of March. And then the February stipend file is due to be uploaded again on the 8th of March, and it will appear on their banks on the 11th of March. So that changes a bit from the information that I got this morning in terms of loading. The department sent a memo to all school principals on how to manage payment of EAs so that everybody is moving from the same standard operating procedure. So the January 22 payment is being processed, and the payment runs of February are also being used for purposes of clearing off, mopping up. Schools receive now funds to pay their stipends up to the end of March. They are asked to continue paying EAs and GAs without delay on monthly basis. Schools that have been allocated funds in surplus beyond March 2022 are asked to return that money to a bank account to be communicated by the department. Letters, especially for those respective schools, they were circulated by the district. So to deepen communication around payment of EAs, the department has decided to open up a, what you might call a Google link, where in schools lists are uploaded and payment progress will be indicated for ease of reference. Then we'll also move on to identify a dedicated call center agent who will receive and facilitate responses to inquiries. The call agents can be reached on the number. This is the number that is in there. So just to deal with issues of payment and non-payment. Schools are also asked to make payments for services rendered, and some may have left
to pursue educational trips or appointment elsewhere, which was what some of the EAs and DKAs have done. But the department is working with provincial treasury and trying to find solutions to improve on the payment of EAs. So let us address the overpaid schools were regulated just to deal with normalization of payment.
Chair, that relates to the discussion that the committee members had with the departmental officials. Then comes the school visits and specific findings per school. Chair, Moses Agricultural School, the committee decided not to have a formal meeting with the school management team, but they undertook a walkabout looking at the school kitchen, at the orchards, at the vegetables, poultry hatches, piggery, and technical workshop. And these were almost comments that were made known to all departmental officials that were in there, that they've gone through this. Manguzela Full Study School, also the presentation was made, and I should think there were specific areas where there was a keen interest on the community. But after receiving the presentation, members had no formal deliberations on the presentations, but opted for also an in-local walkabout of the school. So in these two schools, there were no specific findings that came out. See, the special schools, this is where there were findings specific to the special school. The first one, Chair, was on the LTFM delivery. The second one was on vacancies and HR letters. The third one was on infrastructure. And then the fourth one was what we call employment of interpreters, you know, especially with the extension of sign language in our special schools. In terms of HR matters, the department has since deployed a nurse to see that they did not deploy 22 nurses, but rather 22 nurses were deployed to our special schools with hostels, and in total, they are 22. Then there's also a challenge that was sort of picked up of the procurement of assistive devices. And since the visit, the department is now participating in the RT275 with National Treasury, which allows the department to procure assistive devices through the standard. And that is work in progress. The post of the deputy principal was filled. The special schools get the allocation of LTSM through norms and standard cash payment, and CV has already received their allocation. Their overtime is being paid as it was regularized and approved by Treasury, so there will be no issues of unpaid overtime around CV. Then the issue that was, a high recommendation, and which was the hot issue on CV, was the issue of the infrastructure. And the committee felt that the school should have been closed down. So now, there were some shortages that were identified, and the committee recommended the provision of classrooms to host especially the assistive devices. The department is in the process of reallocating two classrooms under its current modular classroom program to support the remedial teaching at CVEC. Two classrooms identified have already been procured through a tender that closed on the 14th of February. And these will be installed by the end of June. So the time lag between procurement and installment is what we may then get much more emphasis from and from infrastructure in terms of the technical detail. Then the electricity issue also came out during the discussion, particularly the payment of electricity bills. Because there were some switch-offs. The bill has been paid, that's the progress, and electricity has finally been restored at CVE. The quality of fencing is an issue that was raised, and the district has since included CVE in their 2022-2023 financial year, which means it's going to be addressed in this financial year.
Sitilana Technical Secondary School, the recommendation by the portfolio committee was that the department should support in reducing the number of learners at the school, particularly enrollments. And if you look at enrollments in 2020, it was 1,502. 2021, 1,502. 2022 is 1,556. The status, Chair, is that the enrollment has not increased at all. The second school landscape plan indicates that there's a need for a new secondary school in Mount Fletcher Circuit, particularly in the CFC around Mount Fletcher. The department to consider the approval of application for a new secondary school in 2022-2023. So this is part of the planning of the district that we have to open up a new secondary school in the Mount Fletcher district. The province also to ensure the school received a fully equipped school kitchen for preparation. The school has prioritized direction of two classrooms, which will be completed by the end of March 2022. The other classroom is going to be used as a kitchen. So that's what is going to be done. Then the department was also asked by the committee to pay regular visits to schools to do oversight and monitoring. The visits by the district has also improved. The director has also adopted the school, which is the director, the district director of Jokabi. Consequently, the results improved at 59 from 58.6% in 2020 to 70.4% in 2021. The department should also intervene and assist the school in improving learner performance in mathematics. Again, through the metric intervention program, mathematics has minimally improved at 39 from 23.3% to 27.6%. Regarding infrastructure, particularly the full renovation or rebuild of the school has addressed the ablution facilities, while the four modular classrooms currently at Chinana Junior Secondary Schools will be redirected to Sitinana by end of April. So, which means the school that had these modular classrooms, now that the school has been built, they will be redirected to Sitinana. Mount Fletcher Special School, three issues, in fact, four issues that the committee raised. It's long waiting list for learners to be admitted, and also challenges to be reported to DBE where they are urgent. Members noted also the issue of access road to the school that required their attention, especially local government and public works. Members queried time frames for the implementation of solutions to some of the challenges that are faced by the school. Chair, on the matter of admissions, all special schools have then created a central admission system in the province to cater for the demand that is increasing. As a result of that, the long waiting lists are addressed through a provincial placement process. And with all schools in the province, then the province has taken over the placement of learners. The school has also initiated the attaining a bigger site for the school, as the current site is a cornered site, which is very limited space. And one of the beneficiaries, one of the big benefits for the school is that they received a learner transport, which is the bus service that the department is availing to these special schools. Then with regards to infrastructure, is perimeter fencing, ablution facilities, it's water tanks. And what the department has done is that they have considered for fencing in the outer years of the budget, which is 2023-2024 and 2024-2025. Ablution facilities are prioritized under the DOE sanitation program, which is for completion by June 2022. Two tank stands as part of the water tanks program will be erected at the school by end of April 2022, and an investigation on the borehole setting will be undertaken in the current financial year, which will determine the availability of water and cost at Mount Fletcher Special School. Mount Fletcher Special School, shortages of classrooms for remedial programs, and key in that is the portfolio committee issues that were lifted in the in-local site visit to school after receiving a presentation. So the department is also in the process of reallocating two classrooms
under its current program to support remedial teaching at Maguzela. Two classrooms were identified already and have been procured through a tender that closed on the 14th. So the academic purpose of the school it remains as it was last year.
Bushes Technical and Agricultural High School, key issues that were identified, the school kitchen, is the orchard, is the vegetable and fruit plantation, is poultry hatches, is piggery, is technical workshop, and again, the committee did an in-local site visit, and these issues were highlighted where the department must pay attention to. So the school has also considered the recommendation. However, they placed almost a growth plan in 2020-2021 in abeyance due to COVID-19. Now, coming in 2022-2023, the school has activated it again. But key recommendation from the in-local was the extension of the piggery on the school farm section, and the school maintains that the current piggery and the extension will be considered when the school has enough budget to expand that piggery. The second one was the fertility of the soil and the potential of the school garden to produce vegetables. And the matter is with the school planning because at the time of the visit, there was too much of a rain to talk about an activity around plantations, but the school has now put them back on their planning. Is it about the
school, Chair? The department, the committee recommended that basic education look into the matter of renovation, building of the school, as the building was condemned altogether. Also, the department should consider supplying the school with temporary structures in the interim. The committee arranges a virtual meeting with all relevant stakeholders regarding the issue of school renovation as an ongoing matter because the committee had a huge interest on this building. This is one building where there was a finding around the state of the infrastructure. Then the department has put the school as part of what they call budget facility for infrastructure application and is scheduled to receive security fencing by the end of March and modular infrastructure that is currently at Zibimea JSS by end of April just to ease the pressure on the old structures. The decanting that will be coming from Zibimea JSS is 7 classrooms. It's 1 multipurpose center. It's 1 nutrition center. It's 1 admin block. It's 1 staff room. It's 1 grade R class. It's 1 ablution that will be coming over. There has been a delay in the procurement for relocation of these from Zibi to Ititabane. However, the processes are currently underway with the implementing agent, CDC, to relocate these facilities by the end of April. An amount of 7 million will be spent on this project of relocation, and the department closed this special program tender for the school on the 28th of February. It is envisaged that the fencing will be expedited and be completed by no later than the end of March 2022. That is Ititabane. So the summary on the classroom strategies again is the relocation of the modular classrooms, the fencing, the tender that has closed, construction of the school. The school is part of the budget facility infrastructure, which application window closes on the 1st of April.
Those are the findings around the schools that are visiting. Now there are generic findings that the department was requested by the committee to look at. First one is infrastructure, particularly looking at resources that were reported to the portfolio committee, and they included your classrooms, mobile units, assistive devices, toilets, laboratories, libraries, and then also schools placed on the priority list for a city infrastructure program. And then also schools identified as storm damaged schools, the department had to pay attention to all of those.
So far, the department has noted the huge backlog in classroom provisioning to school, and this has been exacerbated by the need to comply with COVID in terms of social distancing. The department, however, has
completed 9 schools in the first half of 2021-2022. And further to this, 167 classrooms delivered since March 2021, with a further 240 modular classrooms being in the procurement process for completion by the first quarter of 2022-2023 financial year. There were in care of payments of projects and termination of work in 110 projects, and the department has since resuscitated and reprioritized these projects, especially projects that are under construction. And there's been an implementing agent re-advertising these projects. They will be re-advertising them from April 2022. The final project list is indicative of a portfolio, a highly prioritizing construction projects, and the work has been completed and submitted to provincial treasury for the new financial year funding. So if you look at what we call the storm damaged schools in 10 of the 12 districts, and we've listed them, the number of schools, and the number of schools assessed and costed, the number of affected classrooms, schools that will now, that will not open as of January, and then also the total estimated project cost for these schools. The total number of schools is 107, especially, you know, storm damaged schools. 57 were assessed already. Number of affected classrooms is 196. Schools that will not be able to open because of severity is 3. The total cost of the project work is 166. The impact share is in such a way that in Alfonso East, you have a school called Kalen, it's in a primary school, which is using a local church. In Oatambo Coastal, you have Zimisele to another school, which is also using a nearby church. Mzongwana JS also is using a church that is nearby church. And that is the agency that we have around this project. We also have almost schools that were, you know, assessed and also costed by DOE. And where there are contracts as awarded, and where there are schools that were assessed by Department of Public Works. Again, of the schools assessed and costed, contractor awarded to 32 of these, and then Department of Public Works has assessed 46 of these. So there are 29 different contractors that are being appointed on the 32 schools, which has been finalized from 55 schools on the 8th of February. And the remaining contractors will be awarded in the coming weeks. That is the summary of the water and sanitation chair. The ablution facilities that are currently attended in schools are in dire need through various interventions. The first one is the SAFE program, which is a steady implementation by DPE of the following project. We have 1,048 schools that have been allocated to date. 237 schools have been completed to date. 274 are currently under construction. So DOE has analyzed the appointment of 46 schools of the 150 targeted for completion for quarter one in 2022-2023. Again, there are schools that have water provision challenges, and the department is participating on a Amatola water board tender that closed on the 19th. To look on provision of water tanks. And so far, the installation of, in fact, schools requiring water cutting will be provided through this contract. And the department is also in the process of appointing contractors for installation of 2 water tanks to 300 identified schools in the province by the end of the first quarter. Cross-cutters, Chair, they are duplications, but I just want to go straight on the SGB as the very first one, particularly the capacity of SGBs. That was a matter that was highlighted. The department is continually providing capacity building, but 4 areas of emphasis in the training of SGBs is financial management, management of admissions, maintenance of infrastructure, as well as mobilization of communities to support schools in their work. On learner admissions, Chair, there were 2 grades
that were a challenge in the Eastern Cape is grade 1 and grade 8. In grade 8, applications received for grade 1 were 126,453, and all of these learners were placed successfully. Then in grade 8, it was 132,059. And only in one district where there was a problem of accommodation of 32 learners by Alwal North High School, because they required a temporary structure to be erected for them to take these. We have put in place a mechanism to support these learners whilst the construction is taking place in Alwal North. So all of these learners, they are receiving online support, which is a project that I will talk by when I'm closing up. In terms of the presentation. Curriculum coverage, Chair, we have gone through a lot of progress in terms of curriculum coverage, particularly on policy amendment, the revised ATPs of the department, but also support systems that we have put in place for curriculum coverage, rate or lessons that we ran. So all of these are packages that the department undertook to deal with curriculum coverage from 2020-2021 to 2022. But there are programs, Chair, that are beginning to mature in the department, particularly the broadcast program, where we're focusing on 15 big subjects in the province. And we are almost, you know, using our national and community radio stations on this broadcast program, also using telematics. But key and important is the departmental website, as well as the Pelela partnership that we have and to enable partnerships. The online school chair is a new program that we are implementing this year, supporting learners that are in the waiting for the construction in Joe Kabi. But we have opened up the school to support children who are struggling with scholar transport, as well as children with challenges of access to education. So it's a new program that we are starting in. It's an online school, which we are benchmarking it with the UCT online school. But we are going to be starting broadcasting as of next week. Currently this week, we are busy finalizing training. There's also a number of resources available, particularly digital resources that is available as part of this. And if we want to join in the online school, that is the address, www.ecdot.online, then it will require a password and then you get in through. Safety chair is an issue that was highlighted. And in this case, we're still using the National School Safety Framework. And that's what is guiding all our programs. But just to say a few, on the school safety side, especially managing violence in schools, there are key types of violence that we're trying to mitigate. It's bullying, cyberbullying, xenophobia, sexual and gender-based, assault and fighting, gang-related. And as a department, I should think, we have decided to agree on various levels of seriousness of these levels of violence and misconduct. Level 5, which is the top of the game, is criminal misconduct. And this is where we look at breaking of the law, especially civil law, school rules, code of conduct for the school. It's quite a serious one. Then level 4, we're focusing on the code of the school. Level 3, also we're looking at violation of school code. Then level 2 is almost possession of items that are not in the school policy, or items that are against school policy, your drugs, tobaccos, you know. Then level 1 is classroom discipline. So any of these cases are looked at, you know, in terms of. So we have assessed the impact of violence and crime in our schooling system. There's quite a number, but key and important is your physical injuries, as well as the impact on your psychological, you know, dimension. But also it's an extended, cost to policing and criminal justice system. There are key intervention strategies, Chair. The first one is the link between the schools and the nearest police station. That program is called Junior Commissions. And in the Junior Commissions, it's a collaboration that we create between the station commander of the police station, and the student representative council of the school, as well as the SGP, and it's called junior commissioners. In the junior commissioners, police come into the school to talk about safety, to talk about violence, to talk about drugs. So there's quite a package that they look at. And then the second one is what we call school marching drill inspiration in collaboration with the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and SAPS, where we are looking at, you know, introduction of a strategic development plan of the school, you know, looking at safety development within that framework of discipline, self-control, using the school march drill and school discipline. We also have created peace clubs, and we have manuals that guide on the peace club, but looking at what they focusing on extracurricular programs and support. So all of these, they have, you know, fully fledged lesson plans that are integrated as part of our LO, particularly on conflict management, violence, gender-based, as well as reconciliation. Chair, there is a program that we are very much focusing on keeping boys in schools, particularly managing the transition between boyhood and manhood, which gives a lot of challenges to the schooling system in terms of ability of boys to be retained in schools. So we have employed what you might call, keeping boys in schools monitors that support us in this. And we also have safety patrols, particularly managing movement of children between the traffic and the school, movement within the school. And we have what we call scholar patrol program or scholar patrollers. And these are the numbers that we have in terms of the patrollers. COVID-19 regulations, I should think, Chair, we have promulgated all regulations in terms of COVID-19. And we've also issued our own circulars over and above DPE and DPSA circulars and standard operating procedures. Then on PPE's chair, we have set aside an amount of 150 that has been set aside, and we are funding per learner 63 rand per learner that is transferred to school so that schools can procure. So in the new financial year, they will start procuring again in terms of the amount allocated per school. Social distancing, we are still adhering to standard operating procedures, but with the full return to schools, now it's a bit difficult to go back to your 1 meter. However, screening is still going on in schools, particularly strengthening the vaccination of the 12 to 17 year olds. And this is where we've been talking to parents big time. Scholar transport, Chair, the biggest impact on the scholar transport is that currently we are transporting 124,000 kids, and the Department of Transport has budget challenges. They have reduced that number to 103,000 for the new financial year. That's what we're busy with, cleaning our data to custom make it to 103,000 kids. But the impact will be on parents footing the bill for the transportation of their children. Psychosocial support,
in each of our psychiatric management centers,
we have 49 in total, all of them, which are coordinated all our circuits. We have placed a social worker, and we have also almost 800 schools where we are placing learner support agents, especially looking at vulnerability and orphanage within the schooling system. On the nutrition chair, only one school had a finding, but it had to do with the kitchen and preparation of meals, which was Ichitabane. But the rest of the schools that were visited, there were no nutrition issues that were raised.
The PPN chair, in terms of regulation, the department declared 54,026 posts. And 52,000 of these posts were filled, which represent 96.3%, and only 3.7% vacancy rate in the department, which made it crucial for the department to look at filling of posts using Fudza Lushaka graduates, which are placed in schools. For 2021, Chair, we placed 469 Fuzalushaka graduates out of 766 that was provided by DBE, which is 61.2%. Also, due to budget cuts, the department declared 53,565 posts for 2022 academic year, which is a reduction of 421 posts. The declaration ensured that warm bodies were secured in the system. However, although there's a reduced declared basket, the average provincial educator ratio remains at 1:31, and the stability of the system is at 83%. We are looking at, in fact, we are using the database of additional educators and unemployed educators, especially graduates, to fill in our post level one posts. But our priority there is that of all the categories, our first choice are additional educators. Our second choice is Fuzalushaka at 30% intake, Matthew Koniwe, which is our own initiated Nasara scheme at 25%. And NASFAS, which is also a national government funding scheme at 25% and self-funded at 20% of the intake. Chair, thank you for your indulgence. The presentation is over.
Chair, thank you. I think this is the presentation from the two provinces. Over to you, Chair.
So thank you very much, DG, and thank you very much from both the provinces, the MECs, and the presenters. DG, are you still in the meeting? Anything from you? Okay. Okay, members, then I see the hand of Honorable Murwa Tsetla. Can I allow you to speak, Principal?
Chairperson, good morning. And good morning to everybody, all honorable members and departmental officials from both DBE and the two provinces, Eastern Cape and KZN. And good morning to our leaders, the minister and the deputy minister. Chairperson, let me start right away by saying it is very important that we must appreciate all the efforts taken and done by the two provinces after those important visits on an oversight. And we also want to appreciate that they made themselves available to come and make these all important presentations. I will start right away with KZN, Mugula Studo, and indicate that all the efforts that the province has taken, or maybe let us start right away by appreciating and congratulating Datengobo for the new responsibility put before him, and we wish him well in this very difficult and a mountain to climb kind of a job and responsibility. In the presentation, the HOD talked, of course, everything that he said we know are general challenges, and all the efforts taken to address them are welcome and appreciated. But the point which I would love this portfolio committee to closely look at, so that we jointly, rather than just becoming so critical and armchair critics without contributing, is the issue on the security in our schools, safety in our schools. You see, I made a little bit of research, Mududa Studio, and I discovered that South Africa is ranked number 19 out of 193 countries in the index of environmental criminality. When we talk about environmental criminalities, we are talking not necessarily about human trafficking and drugs and what, but mainly with regard to burglary, housebreaking, vandalism, and theft. We are rated tops in that category of crimes. And unfortunately, Chairperson, this crime is also so prevalent even within our schools, to such an extent that our schools have become unsafe. The department and communities may do everything in their powers to resource schools, make it a point that our schools have got everything which the learners must use in their education, the teachers must use in their improvisation as they provide education. But unfortunately, all of this, what they provide in the form of computers, laptops, and whatsoever, including even the school nutrition, the food that is stored at school, everything appears not to be safe because our schools are being vandalized and they're rendering almost all our schools to be unsafe. I see all the efforts that the province is coming up with, even though I think we must appreciate KZN for the efforts that they are, and strategies that they are putting, which strategies are trying at all costs to fight these crimes which are invading our schools. But I would love to make a proposal that it must, where possible, in as much as we leave the responsibility to provinces, to our communities, and whatever you can, municipalities. But I think the department from the head, deputy minister, and the DG should be coming with almost the similar strategies as proposed by KZN, which will be able to be embraced by all provinces, so that together we join in the fight against crime, which is threatening our schools. It is one thing to resource school today, and the next day when you report at the same school, it has been vandalized. All the laptops, all the computers that you shall have assembled are nowhere to be found. It's bad. We can try by all we can do in order to instigate our communities to take ownership and responsibility. But let the policy be very clear. If it means schools must contribute in the form of funding, so be it. And so that the property can be saved. And unfortunately, it's not only the property, Chairperson. Even the human resource is threatened. During our recent oversight visits, especially in the Western Cape, we were reported at a number of educators who lost their lives within the school premises. Safety in our schools, so very close to my heart. Can we all rise up in the name of creating peace within our schools so that we can be proud of Sotho? Let me go to the Eastern Cape here. The Eastern Cape also is crying foul about how unsafe our schools are. And I think what I said with regard to KZN can equally be applicable, or is applicable, to the Eastern Cape, that we all have to join hands. I know education is a societal matter, but a societal matter without being directed properly will remain a dream in the air. With regard to Eastern Cape, Chairperson, the little point, or the one point I want to address, you see, when the rapporteur was reporting, he kept on saying some schools were paid the EAs, and by implication, which also says there were those schools which were not paid, That's why there was an outcry that we have got the EAs, which worked from December, January, February, and they were not compensated. It cannot be during our era, Chairperson, that people should work and not be compensated. I think we are going to persuade Eastern Cape, the MEC, the HOD, and all your generals to have a concerted effort in working so that people who pay, who work at the end of the day must be compensated. You see, it should not reach a point. We must be able to prove our detractors wrong, that we also have got the capacity and we're able to govern. And it is for this reason that I'm saying, this one, Eastern Cape, we believe we have had it for the very first time and the last time this time around. And that there are people who worked and were not be able to be compensated. It's a crime against workers. They that work must be paid. Even the Bible will tell you that. And they that do not work must also not eat. But this one have worked. And therefore, we are appealing to you, Eastern Cape, the Honorable MEC, to have sleepless nights until you come with a workable means to make it a point that these poor workers who were employed under very stringent circumstances through the presidential initiative, they get what is due to them. Because I believe there is no person who can be appointed without having not been budgeted for. They've been budgeted to. If it's a question of a human weakness, let that human being be shifted so that justice can be done. Maybe, Chairperson, I must just stop there on these very two important points so that I allow others also to make the necessary contributions. Baie dankie, mevrou voorsitter.
Thank you. Honorable Dada.
Thank you so much, Chair. Chair, can I just check on my audible?
Yes.
Thank you so much, Chair. Chair, I just want to start with appreciating and welcoming the presentations and the fact that we're getting feedback on the oversight that we did in these two provinces. And I've got quite a few questions and specific comments because I've visited both of these provinces now in January, and I've specifically gone to specific schools that are affected by some of the issues that we had asked them to address. And I'm going to start with KZN. There has been an indication of, you know, there's some intervention that has been made regarding water provision. You know, the schools, particularly in Kanyagude district and other districts that have a challenge in terms of water. And we had made suggestions that there must be a collaboration between the department itself and the various municipalities that these schools are directly affected reside. And I wanted to just to check with the department in KZN in terms of how many schools now remain post our recommendations that have been made that still have water provision challenges. And is there a specific plan in place that you intend to put, particularly in the new financial year, to address the issue of access to water, particularly now because it's the first line of defense during COVID, and just general cleanliness, if there are any schools that still have water provision challenges, and what is the plan relating to that? And has there been any interaction with the municipalities that these schools reside that we had went and visited, and I mentioned Mkanyagude district as an example. Secondly, we had identified that there were poor accountability measures that were put in place in terms of procurement during the COVID. And I wanted to check whether the MEC has engaged with the HOD to put accountability measures after the SIU report has been released, and what accountability measures have been put in place against officials that are implicated in the SIU report. if you can maybe give us an update in terms of that. Then I have visited Fairvale Technical High School, MEC, and I visited other schools, Collingwood, and various other technical schools in KZN. And I wanted to check, what is the vacancy rate of your technical teachers? And you know why I ask this question is because we push that you must have particularly streams that will give a pathway for learners to access, you know, industry, you know, be able to develop skills that they can advance in institutions of higher learning that they will later on be able to access the job market. And the technical stream of things actually gives you a tangible skill that you can go by and use after you finish school beyond matric. And at Fairvale Technical School, learners were forced to change their technical streams in matric because there were no teachers to continue the stream that they started in grade 10 and 11. And I asked this question to check, what is the vacancy rate of your technical teachers, just generally across the board in KZN? And is there a specific plan in place that, or interventions that you intend to put in place to make sure that we don't have the shortage of teachers? And Honorable Rafeta just mentioned that we visited other provinces that have challenges to attract certain, you know, teachers, particularly technical subject teachers in their provinces. And whether in your, for example, your Funza Lushaga, you know, stream of bursaries that you've got people identified in KZN, you know, to try and enhance and build more of these technical teachers to try and fill this vacancy so that, you know, you don't have learners that are forced to change their stream of studying in matric because there are no teachers when it comes to that. So if you can maybe indicate what the gaps are in that and what will be done. Then just getting back to the issue of the procurement of items, and the report, the SR report is quite clear in terms of this. Have you yielded to any of the recommendations of the report regarding strengthening your procurement processes in the department? And have you made any specific changes on how the procurement processes actually work, so that we avoid, you know, a situation of whereby officials utilize these processes to advance their own agendas in taking away taxpayers' money. And then the second last one, Chair, is on the issue of, let's get this correct, right? The second last one, Chair, is on the issue of the procurement, the dropouts in case. So when we're looking at the results in KZN, there's an improvement in terms of matric results. But, you know, KZN has not the highest enrollments across the country, then, you know, amongst the highest enrollments across the country. And I wanted to check, because this is a continuous problem, we've got 3.3 million youth not in education, employment, or skills training. And when we look at the trends, we see that if learners don't go to TVET in grade 9 or between grade 10 and 11, or, you know, are not in the schooling system because they failed. In fact, they have dropped out. And there needs to be an intervention in terms of that. And recently, the department just reported that over 160,000 learners have been returned just in the previous year. So I wanted to check, in terms of your dropout, what does it look like in KZN? And do you have learner tracking, tracing, and retention strategies for that so that we avoid contributing to the high learner youth that is not in education, employment, or training when it comes to this? And if you do have strategies in place, and I've made suggestions quite often that there is a need to engage, you know, social development and your institutions of higher learning that you find in the province, either TVET colleges or universities, you know, particularly TVET colleges where learners can be able to exit to try and see whether you track and trace these learners, whether they've gone there, and how many of them actually miss in the system, considering that you've got a very prevalent problem on learner transport. The last thing on KZN, there is an allegation, there's a school that I went to, I can't reveal the name, see, and maybe I can, you know, write to you in private on this, because of protecting these teachers and officials that are in your department that brought this information to light, that there is a selling of posts in your department with quite concrete evidence, with officials in your own department very high ranking officials in your own department that are actually filling posts, teacher posts, principal posts, and influencing decisions where, you know, interviews are being done at the school level, but when they get to the department, a different name is put on that appointment and the signature that, you know, is signed there by those individuals is changed to be appointing somebody else in a particular post. And I want you to comment on that, if you are aware of any of those types of allegations in KZN, and whether any information has been brought to your table or not. Then coming to the Eastern Cape, it's quite disappointing that, you know, the Eastern Cape comes and presents here. I mean, yesterday I just sent somebody, for example, to Mount Fletcher Special School. I sent somebody to E.T. Tabane just yesterday, not five days ago, a couple of months ago. You came to Mount Fletcher Special School. There was an implementing agent that did toilets there, and those toilets were left not working. Your own infrastructure department made a commitment that those particular toilets will be fixed within the next 3 months. As I speak to you today, not any other day, those toilets still don't work. And that's a special school that now has to take learners behind trees and behind the old toilets that existed, like quick toilets, and still using some of those toilets. And there's been money that's been pumped into that school to make those toilets work and available for those learners. And I just want to check, what is the reason why that those toilets are still not functional today? Despite you, indicating that within 3 months, you know, you'll get the implementing agent back to fix those toilets. This was last year sometime, if I still recall properly. And still today, those toilets are not functional. The second question I want to ask is regarding E.T. Tabane. You mentioned that there were delays in terms of making sure that the necessary support in terms of equipment is being put in place. But I want to ask, what are the reasons for the delays in procurement, especially for the relocation of facilities to E.T. Tabane? What are the actual delays in that, considering that that school is the only non-fee paying school that is available to the people of Yogi and surrounding areas in that particular township? And you are aware that it's almost close to 2,000 learners that are actually in that school that is, you know, already overcrowded, and the Grade R block was closed down by the Department of Environmental Affairs in Joburg because it was not compliant, you know, in terms of health and safety standards. So I just wanted to check what the delay in terms of that was. And number two, how many ablution facilities have been installed there? Because as I speak to you, there are none. So I saw pictures that are, you know, when you did a presentation, I don't know whether you were trying to give an illusion that those particular facilities that are still in another school are actually at E.T. Tabane, but we all know that. In fact, particularly me, I know that they're not there. So I wanted to check in terms of how many ablution facilities that actually transferred to E.T. Tabane, and if not, you know, by when are you saying that these ablution facilities will be put there? Then to the MEC, in terms of LTSM, I've got three questions on this. One, who is responsible of making sure that there was procurement of LTSM for the Eastern Cape? Generally, whether it's from a separate district or provincial level on your end, and whether there has been anybody held accountable for the fact that there are a lot of schools, in fact, there were schools, none of the schools had LTSM in the beginning of the year. And if there's anybody who was held accountable for such, because this then hinders in terms of us being able to deliver on the mandate of making sure that learners have access to education. But beyond that, we come from a situation whereby there was rotational learning, there's a lot of learning losses that have been that have taken place, and there needs to be a catch-up. You know, the curriculum catch-up plan has been set up and put there. You know, the three-year curriculum catch-up plan has been put there. And these learners, particularly in rural schools in Eastern Cape, have to catch up, you know, far quicker or times three than, you know, some learners that have been affected in other provinces. And by you not providing the LTSM that is required for that, you're obviously denying these learners from accessing education, but two, you're exacerbating the already existing inequality problem in our education system. So has there been anybody held accountable for the non-delivery of LTSM? And then the last question on LTSM is, how many of the schools actually still need or are waiting LTSM? The last question, Chair, is on slide 18. There's an indication that there were schools that were overpaid, you know, What are the total costs of the overpayments to these schools? Are they going to be recovered? And what exactly is going to happen when it comes to that? And if, just on the last thing I forgot, in LTSM, when can you tell us that 100% of LTSM will be delivered to schools? Thank you so much, Chair.
No, thank you very much. I don't see any other hands, meaning that the members are okay with the presentation. From both provinces. From my side, I think we just need to commend the fact that there is something done in both presentations from the matters that we have presented and recommended to both provinces. One is just interested in the issue of coding and robotics that the KZN province has said with us that they are experiencing challenges. Can you just be broader in terms of telling us what those challenges could be, since we all understand that it is a new thing that you are also trying to settle yourself in it, but sharing probably could assist also for other provinces to also know that there are these challenges that you as the province are experiencing. Second thing that I want to raise is on the learner transport, where you are saying that it has improved after the review. Can you also share again the criteria that you are using on the learner transport, particularly after the review that you have done as the province? The third question, not question really, but there is a slide that speaks of the 100% pass rate improvement. One is also interested in those in the strategies that you are using as the province in dealing with the pass rate in your province. Coming to the Eastern Cape, this thing that you have been mentioning, DG, that you are struggling to get the boys are moving to manhood, then you are struggling to move them back. As much as I know that family's business, but I think the department should also be able to have ways of encouraging parents that let's rather motivate, you know, our households that these kids can rather go to the mountains after they have done matric. Or rather find ways of bringing them back to the schools if we can do that. I know it can't be an easy, it should be a very tricky situation. One has noted all the recommendations and all the issues that you've raised with regards to Ititalan. But I think my personal concern is that the numbers of Ititalan are still very huge. And I think it's one of the issues that we've raised when we were there. Is there nothing that can be done? The school can't be divided into two, or rather, because I remember when we were there, there was mentioning of other neighboring schools, but then I remember the principal was even bragging that even schools that are, even learners that are very far from the particular school want to be in Ititaban. But I think as the department, this matter of the numbers of Ititaban will have to be managed. We'll have to find ways to reduce the numbers of the school. It is very, in my view, they are too much. The issue of the EAs in the department and one really has heard that you have been paying them and you've managed to pay them where there are issues. But I think we must say that the media consistently says that the EAs are not paid in the Eastern Cape. And I think MEC and your officials, probably you need to have a media briefing on this matter, and you need to explain to the public that you had some delays and what were the reasons. Because we also get calls at this level with the EAs of the Eastern Cape that are not being paid, which of course it is a provincial matter, which we know that you can handle. But I think there needs to be a record that is put very straight to the public that you are paying these people. They should, because the public as is now, and I think it's matter that is recurring in the media, and the media is of the view that they are not paid by the province of the Eastern Cape. I think it's a matter that we need to give you, at least even if it's till Friday, that you put it very clear, and you outline to the public what was the issue, what were the delays caused about, and that the people are now being paid. So from my side, I think those are the those are the issues that one would have wanted to raise with the department. Can I then allow you, DM, to lead the responses?
Thank you, Chair. We are with the team. MECs are here. The DG is here. I don't know if MEC Mshengu is still in the meeting, because we did receive his apology that is not well, but the fact that he did come, we really appreciate, and the HOD from the Eastern Cape. But let us allow the
yes, I'm still here, DM.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much, MEC. Yeah, I want to allow the two MECs and the teams to respond on those specific things. But there are other specifics which will need details and numbers. Really, there we may not be in a position to give that information now. But on the other details, yes. Let me, through your permission, Chair, allow KZN to start responding.
Thank you so much, SPM, and Chair and Honourable Members. With regards to the, other questions will be taken by the HOD and the team. I may comment broadly on some of the issues raised, but in terms of specifics as well as numbers, I will leave that to the can only be one if our communities stand up, defend their streets, defend their schools, and really wage a relentless fight against criminals. Because we believe that we have done so much to try and protect our schools, but all the measures that we have put in place seem not to be sufficient in deterring the criminals from attacking our schools. They are no longer now only attacking the property or stealing things that are in our schools. They are even attacking the learners themselves, as well as the educators, including in schools where there are security guards at the gate. Those guards get they get attacked. We have a number of cases in KZN where security guards in schools have been savagely attacked, including being killed. I'm sure honorable members would know the cases of the guards that were killed in one school at Hammersdale, and I think another school at somewhere in Pinetown, and then another one in Ganja. So even if you put guards at the gate of schools, when criminals have made a decision that they are going to attack a school, they seem to be quite emboldened, and they can do anything to make sure that they reach whatever they want to reach within the school premises. The recent incident where three young boys stormed the school and then took learners, stabbed four learners, took their phones and other valuables. And that school had two security guards. That is why we believe that we really can do, we can't do more than what we have done in terms of resources, other than really now relying on the community to also stand up and defend their schools. Otherwise, we'll spend all the money that we have, legally as it is, and employ security guards and all of that, and then we'll have to retrench educators, or we'll have to stop buying things that are necessary for teaching and learning in order to upgrade the security features in our schools. And we don't think that will be possible. So that is why we agree with the principal that really there must be a concerted effort from all of us to mobilize the community to really stand up and hunt these criminals, expose them, and give necessary information to police, even when it is at a planning stage, because we don't only want information after the fact. We want at a planning stage. So that's the comment I wanted to make, the Honourable Chair. Honourable, note that indeed we are working with municipalities in terms of water provision. We have service level agreements with all the 12 districts. 10 districts in the province. The 11th one being Mukanyagunde, where they literally failed us until the time we decided to enlist the service of water provision direct from the department. So the contractor there, or the contractor, but the service provider rather, who's now responsible for delivery of water in schools in that district, is contracted directly with the department, because the municipality literally collapsed. And they will tell us that they don't have money for diesel and all of those things, up until we realize that if we don't act as a department to contract directly with the service provider, our schools will continue to suffer. There are also teething challenges with regards to the contracts that we have with the municipalities through SALCA. One, the exorbitant amounts which we get charged as a department. Secondly, the questionable invoices. So from time to time, you will find that we dispute a number of invoices, and then municipalities will go and say, we're not paying them. Because there are schools, for example, there are municipalities that charge us for schools that have boreholes, but they continue to charge us. And our view is that those things can't be condoned. So there are a number of challenges with this, with the arguments between us and the municipalities. Hence, our drive to fast track the process of borehole, so that ultimately we can really move out of these arrangements with the municipalities. Because one, they are costly, as we are saying, but also they result into a number of questionable invoices that are charged the department. The on the accountability following the SIU report, we are following all the recommendations of the SIU. Those that the SIU has reported, or yeah, has reported that they need to undergo disciplinary processes. They have been subjected to such. Other cases have been finalized. Others are still on the, I mean, in the process. I've been raising it with the HOD to say we seem to be moving very slow in this regard, and it's projecting us as a department that is not basically willing to move with speed in implementing the recommendations of the SIU. But there will be no one who will be spared who has been implicated, as I'm saying, as I said, and even it's reported in the SIU report, the recent one, some cases have been finalized, others expelled, others given. I remember one was given what, a 3-month suspension without pay. So we put them through the process, and we implement the findings of the disciplinary processes, which are chaired and run actually by people who are outside the department, so that the process become as objective as possible. So we are following up, and there are measures that have been put in place to make sure that there are no repeat irregularities. As honorable members would notice that actually the cases that we are dealing with relate to the procurement in 2020. 2021, 2022, really things have been moving in a very smooth way, and without any irregularities. So they relate mostly to a time when we were still new in the era, in this era of COVID-19. There's one thing, Chair, that I want to clarify, because it has also been distorted in the media that I have asked the SIU to review some of the findings against certain officials. There is only one finding which I contested, and I still believe I'm still right in contesting that finding. I'm just waiting for the legal opinion from the senior counsel on how we should proceed on this matter. It's a matter relating to the procurement of the spray pumps. Now, when we're preparing the decision, I mean, when we're preparing for the reopening of schools in 2020, which was the first time we reopened schools under COVID-19, the sector as a whole decided on what is called, or what we termed, non-negotiables. And that was a decision of the sector as a whole, including unions and other stakeholders. And amongst the non-negotiables was that schools must be cleaned and sanitized. And that applied to all the departments. And that was one of the key non-negotiables for us to reopen schools. Now, in the Department of Education in KwaZulu-Natal, instead of outsourcing the responsibility of cleaning schools, because we thought it was going to be expensive, we decided that it is better to procure the material, including the spray pumps, and then appoint local people and pay them at a flat rate to clean schools as per the decision of the sector. And we believe that we are correct in taking that decision because it saved us a lot of money. Now, the finding of the SIU says you were not supposed to buy these spray pumps because, according to an official in the Department of Health, they were not necessary. Now, what happened is that as we're procuring COVID-19 essentials, we had Department of Health quality assuring whatever we're procuring, and the Department of and the Provincial Treasury making sure that we are following all the regulations. Now, an official from the Department of Health acted ultra vires in our view, in a sense that instead of quality assuring that which we're procuring, extended the scope to tell us what to procure and not what to procure. and thereby violating the decision of the sector, or seeking to violate the decision of the sector to say schools must be clean. Because according to these officials from the Department of Health, who is at the deputy director level, tells us that no, your sector is wrong in cleaning schools, not necessary to clean schools. We contested that to say you can't contract out of the decision of the sector. Your role here is to quality assure that which we are buying, not to tell us what we must buy and not to buy. Now, the SIU says the Department of Education should have listened to that official from the Department of Health and not procure spray pumps. What the SIU is unable to answer is how were we then supposed to clean schools? The National Department, through the DG and the Minister, wrote a letter clarifying that indeed the cleaning of school was a decision of the sector and KZN could not have contracted out of it. Otherwise, we're not going to open schools. The SIU does not find that there were irregularities in procurement of the spray pumps. It says we're not supposed to buy them at all. And that's what I'm contesting. To say, how in a clean conscience am I supposed to discipline officials for implementing a decision of the sector on the basis of an official who does not belong in a sector? And that's what exactly I'm contesting. And I believe that I'm right in contesting that decision. I have met with the provincial head of the SIU in the province, who ultimately said, anyway, we are making recommendations. It's up to you, MC, whether you are implementing these recommendations or not. And that's what we are now subjecting to the legal opinion to say, but this decision, a lawful decision of the sector, implemented by the officials as they were supposed to do, then how do I discipline officials for implementing? Because it would have been another case if the SIU was saying there were irregularities in the procurement of spray pumps. They are not making that finding. They are saying we're not supposed to buy them because they were not listed in, I think, instruction note number 5, which in our view was not exhaustive. But two, the Department of Health official, which they are relying on, had no mandate to tell us what not to procure and what to procure in a manner that would have actually violated the non-negotiables as agreed to by the sector as a whole. So I thought, let me clarify that, Chair, because it's the only finding of the SIU, which I verily believe was an error of judgment, and the SIU could not have really found that I should discipline officials for implementing a decision of the set. The vacancy rate, Chair, on the technical subjects, I think the HOD probably may have that information, but if we don't have it at hand, we can forward it to the honorable members. Safe to say, we are indeed struggling to get qualified teachers to take on technical subjects. And the vacancy rate will be as a result of the unavailability of those qualified teachers to take up technical subjects. Because there are about 13, if I'm not mistaken, newly introduced subjects, which we have realized that in terms of the educators, we don't have sufficient educators to take up those subjects. Indeed, we are exploring. In fact, we are agreeing that Funza Lushaka should be used really to increase the number of educators in the newly introduced subjects. What we have found in the province of KwaZulu-Natal is that some of the learners will get a bursary, a Funza Lushaka bursary, to go and study for, BS and specialize in maths and science in particular. But when they get to the institution, they then change and take LO and take business studies and all these other subjects, which in our view are oversubscribed. And then they complete the qualification, not with what they were supposed to do when they entered the process. Now, we have taken a decision in the province, and we have raised this matter with the national to say, those learners, in our view, should not be prioritized. It should not be automatic that because you were given Funza Lushaka, therefore, you must be prioritized in terms of placement when we have actually deviated in the process. We don't have, for example, Funda Lushaka persons who were not placed because, who have met science and other critical subjects. We only have those who deviated along the way and for subjects that are overly subscribed. But the HOD, I'm sure, and the team will deal with that. I thought I need to clarify that also. The selling of posts, we will request Honorable Notata to probably give us specifics so that we are able to follow that. Otherwise, it really becomes it becomes a problem, Chair, to follow something without specifics and amount details. Because, particularly from the colleagues who are not currently appointed or employed, they will raise all sorts of allegations, posts are being sold, people are made to sleep with other people in order to get posts, and all of those things. But when you request specifics, you don't get them. It's like, so we are dealing with that situation. So we'll appreciate Bamnotata to get the specifics so that we follow those allegations. There have been instances where the HOD has returned back the recommendations because of irregularities. You'll find that it is a post is contested and it is found that the person who is disputing is actually correct. And yes, the HOD will direct that post or that process be redone and all of those things. But where we don't get real information, where it becomes difficult to act. The last one, Honorable Chair, which is from you, the scholar transport, which is a problem really in the province. I think the improvement that colleagues spoke about was that I think last year there was an additional 10 million, only 10 million, that was given to us for scholar transport by the provincial treasury. But also the new policy indicates that we are no longer transporting learners to schools of choice. We have done away with that because we realized that in the past we have been transporting learners who will decide that I'm not going to attend a nearby school, I will attend that one because I happen to like it or the pass rate is better than this one. So we believe that it is unfair to transport learners to the school, to schools of choice, and leave those that have no choice at all. The nearest school is 12 kilometers away and all of that. So those are the new things that we have really introduced in the policy that we have introduced. But ultimately, the issue of learner transport in the province will be solved by additional funding. Our province is largely rural. 72% of our schools are in rural areas, as honorable members would know. And those are the learners that are in dire need of scholar transport. So the real solution really in this regard is additional funding. But through you, Chair, and the DM, may I request that the HOD and the team probably add on the issues that I might have left out. Thank you.
Thank you, MSC. Honorable Chair, let me just indicate that the MSC has really covered almost all the questions. Just a few details that we can give. I think one of the questions was how many schools still have water challenges. We can say that 3,543 schools are receiving water through our municipalities. It doesn't mean they don't have water. They are receiving water through our municipalities via tankers that come and deliver water into tanks in our own schools. And that is why we are saying, on top of that, now we want to get out of that arrangement, and like the MEC was saying, so that schools have their own boreholes. In the current financial year, we have targeted 1,158 of those schools to have boreholes, and we are hoping that we will meet that target. So again, let me say that the challenges don't mean the schools don't have water. It just means that the water is delivered by the municipality through the SLAs that we have with our districts. I think the other question was from the chair, which was about robotics and the challenges that we're facing, in ensuring that these subjects are actually, we progress in the introduction of those subjects. I think the main challenge has been COVID, the fact that when we introduced these subjects in 2020, then COVID happened. One of the things that affected us because of the pandemic was that most of the resources and equipment that you need for these subjects is imported. And because the pandemic was global and the world basically was shut down, it actually means that manufacturers of those or people who were selling those had closed down, and therefore that delayed progress. But it also affected the question of demand, because the equipment used there is in demand all over the world. And because demand could not be met even when the world was partially reopened, it meant that the prices also went up. The whole principle of supply and demand and pricing, the prices went up, and it became different. Even now, the supply side is still a challenge, but it is a global challenge. But it hasn't stopped us from doing all we can to ensure that we go ahead with the implementation or with the introduction of these subjects. But the challenges that we're facing really are beyond our control. They are global challenges. All the other questions were responded to. Just to clarify the question of our academic improvement plan and the 100% pass rate, I think what we're saying in that slide is that our academic improvement plan yielded results in the sense that there were schools which previously were getting 0%, in other words, where no learner passed. We eliminated all those schools now. We don't have a school that had a 0% pass rate. And instead, we increased the number of schools that obtained 100%. In other words, where all learners passed. So that 100% was in that slide, and it's all through our implementation of our academic improvement plan. We have shared our academic improvement plan with our oversight committees and our provincial exco within the province, and we've shared it with our national department in various forums where this is required. I think with that, we
have, you know, fairly, you know, responded to the questions. I didn't want to repeat, you know, responses that the MEC had already given. Thank you very much, Chair.
MEC Kade?
No, thanks, Chair. Once more, good afternoon to you and good afternoon to the colleagues. I will take few, Chair, through your guidance and leave others for the DDG Jagati to wrap up, especially the ones that would require some figurative statistics on the discussion. One, Chair, the member has raised one issue around the safe schools, which is a critical component in our view as basic education generally, that we needed to find a way on how do we then make a prioritization area on this one. But the province, we have established a collaboration framework with the Department of Safety so as to respond to this question. Precisely because Department of Safety has got what you call safe communities. In that framework, we agreed that schools must be attached to the nearby police stations and attach a police officer to a few number of schools across the ward-based arrangement, so that we can at least respond to the element of criminality and vandalism that is happening in the space in education, to be precise. But I'm happy that the member is also raising a critical question that the issue of environmental crime and also vandalism is not just an issue of the sector alone. Especially when you go to areas like your northern areas in Port Elizabeth, to be precise, there are a number of plethora areas that you needed to deal with as you deal with the issue of the safe schools, so as to create a conducive environment for teaching and learning. But part of the effort that we have done in trying to care the situation was to urgently force ourselves with the mega resources we have to procure fencing, in particular on the hotspot areas in the province. One amongst those hotspot areas is the northern areas of Port Elizabeth, where gangsters sometimes use schools as battlefields for their own fights within the townships and within the communities. So we created a bit of a comprehensive approach that we had to do in the context of trying to safeguard the life of the employees and also to safeguard the life of the learners that we have. Hence, I'm then saying we will take counsel and also advice from the committee in relation to the approach that has been utilized by the KZN as part of the broad strategy to deal with some of the security in our institutions of learning in the country and in the province in particular, Honorable Chair. On the issue of the initiation program, yes, this is one area that is, we have been dealing with the advocate and publication, engaging communities, traditional, house of traditional leaders in the province on this one. But I can say we have not won that battle. Not because of anything, but because of the stubbornness of the culture and the tradition, in particular in the borders of Lesotho, your Matatiel, your Mount Fletcher areas, Amashubi area, where you would have a bit of a couple of weeks or months for that particular initiation program. But however, we have been able to reduce the number precisely because it has been a crisis, especially for those that were doing grade 11s and grade 12s. So we will take it back so that we can engage with them further, so that we can agree at least through the intergovernmental relations program that is led by the Department of Cooperative Governance, Ms. Nqatha, on that, because we are part of that, program that deals with the initiation program in the province. But key to it is how do we then ensure that we persuade and influence the stakeholders involved at that particular level to ensure that at least either they go to initiation post-matric or allow us to utilize the legal period that we have as intervals, which is a bit of a contradiction in relation to their own traditions at that particular level. The third aspect, Chair, which I think I must respond to, is on the procurement of the LTSM, which has been a public matter in the province and also in the country. The background on this one, Chair, arises out of the change of the procurement methodology. The change of the procurement methodology in this sense, for the past 6 years, the department has been procuring learner support material through manual orders. In essence, it means purchasing learner support material for money that is not there for the past 6 years. And that has created accruals. If you go to the reports of the AG, you go to the financial standing of the department in relation to the accruals part of it. This component of learner support material has been a nerve in the systems of education administrations in the province. Hence, we then said it will be imperative as early as February engage the Provincial Treasury and Finance Department to look at a different model on how to ensure that we get the learner support material without being subjected into the manual order system that we have been using, which results into the accruals that we have been experiencing in the past. Unfortunately for us as a department, the Cabinet of the Eastern Cape only approve the money to the department on the 20th of December. And that created a mess in relation to how should we relate with the manufacturers, how should we relate with the procurement issues themselves, and how do we relate with the distribution of the learner support material speedily as it would be, so that we can be able to ensure that we minimize disruptions that might be caused by delays on the decision-making process within the entities of government in that particular regard. I can take it up, Chair, that on this one we were at fault in terms of the planning and management of it, and also in terms of ensuring that when you change any discourse, try by all means at that transition does not hamper the institutions of learning in that particular regard. Hence, I'm taking that responsibility on that one. But however, we have been able to make sure that the learner support material has been received by almost all the districts in the space of the Eastern Cape, with the exception of Amathole East. Which is at 99% delivery by now. We are only left there with PODs, with five PODs that are a bit of a concern for the department, which we are working on it as ever since last week, with the provincial treasury to clear up all concerns that are relating to it, and also the invoicing that relates to those five PODs of five barrier schools in the Amatole East District. Otherwise, from where I am seated, we have been able to deal with it. Of course, with all the hiccups, because last week I was in Flagstaff, Honorable Chair, on the very same issue, because there were protests that has been elevated to the SGPs, associations, teacher unions at that level. But at the heartbeat of the discussion was there emerges a serious policy discussion on the centralization and decentralization of the procurement of the LTSM, which has got a history in the province and also in the country, which it can't be a decision of the province on that one, and it can't be a decision of the country blindly without a scientific analysis in terms of its own tribute and also in terms of its own impact that it might have on the curriculum deliverables that are needed in the sector itself. And I'm therefore saying part of the discussion which has created a row in the province on the LTSM was not just about whether schools received the books or not, was about the province conceding on a policy of centralization versus decentralization, which in my view is far-fetched in the main, because the centralization of the LTSM has been taken across the sector for the purpose of coordination in terms of curriculum, content, in terms of managing also the assessment instruments that we have in the country in general and also in the province to be precise. So it's a matter that those stakeholders were engaging the provincial government and also the provincial department on it in expediting their demands of the shortage of the learner support material. Lastly, on my side, Chair, will be the issue of the EAs. Again, Chair, on this one, we were paying the EAs via the PESAL system. And again, we had to change the methodology around about beginning of November, if my memory serves me well. Precisely, we could pick up that there are scary information that we have in relation to the data, some of the participants being declared deceased, some of the participants being declared as people that have moved out of the province through the personal system itself, and some of the participants being declared as no longer part of the school establishment as schools have furnished us with that particular information. We then changed that instrument into paying via trenches into schools. The target was on the 7th of December. The other one on the 18th of December, if my memory serves me well. The last one was on the 24th of December. On those instances, we then experience again technicalities that comes from the provincial treasurer, which unfortunately has put us into this quagmire that we had now. But however, we then paid schools on the 7th of January, which then that bunch of payment to schools resulted into some schools being overpaid, some being underpaid, some being paid whilst have no EAs participation as per the records of the department. We then suspended three officials on the basis of that, and taken them into a DC process, which is currently underway, precisely because of the implications that government was going to experience out of that wrongful transaction into schools, which now we are confronted with some of the schools having to be supreme for them to take that money back into the account of the provincial government. So we are managing that particular space, of course, with the deficiencies that have actually happened. But from the records I have, which the DDG has been presenting here now, I think the only payment that is due, in my understanding now, is the payment that is supposed to be paid on the 8th of March, which is for February, because we've cleaned the data, which we have been always in fight about, trying to ensure that there are no ghost people that are being paid through that particular transaction, which has created a bit of a problem for us in managing this. And I'm therefore saying, if there is anything that I might have left, Chairperson, I would request the DDG to come back on it. Lastly, on the issue relating to infrastructure, your toilets, safe programs, additional classrooms, this is one portfolio that has been a subject of investigation in the Department of Education in the Eastern Cape. Members must be aware of that. Precisely because of it, the plethora of issues that have been happening in that particular space. So we had to find a way of how do we then stop contracts that have been built, for example, in 2015 financial year, which have actually not been finished by now, and then prioritize those that were above 60% completion and redirect resources towards those that are on the verge of completion. That has created a delay in some of the programs and projects that are currently underway, which in my view has affected some of the schools that the honorable members have actually visited. Hence, we are talking of the procurement of the infrastructure that has been closed now through the tender on the mid of February, which has been brought back for us to make that particular pronouncement on them. And I'm therefore citing this issue that it is not out of ignorance or disrespect of the committee findings or resolutions on some of these matters, but it is out of ensuring that we manage our space in a manner that does not discredit government. Hence, I'm saying infrastructure is one of those portfolios that has been looked very closely by the SIU. If you look into the operations of the Department of Education in the province, and hence the reports that are available now in relation to number of projects that have been escalated into the SIU for them to look very closely into some of those aspects. But if there is anything in terms of the stats, Honorable Chair, would request that DG come into that space, give a detailed aspect, even on the EAs, how many of those that are left in terms of payment that are due on the 8th, on the 8th of March, which their monies will be available in their bank accounts on the 11th of March, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Alessi has covered us on quite a number of aspects, but on the EAs, the payment of the mop-up is earmarked to be finished today, and their payment will appear on the 11th of March. And the CFO has confirmed to us that the payment or the uploading of the payment is happening today for the outstanding EAs and the payment of EAs altogether. The second thing, Chair, there is a disputed information about the infrastructure at Ititaban. The district director has just informed us of the delivery of a toilet infrastructure at Ititaban as we speak, to the tune of 40 that are being constructed at Ititaban now as we speak. And Honorable Mr. Notata was claiming that there is nothing taking place at Ititaban. So I should think it's something that is very important that we don't have disputes on information. What we could do as a matter of urgency is to take photographs that we can send to the chair as a demonstration of the work that is taking place at Ititaban. So it's something that we are going to undertake as education. Chair, just to say that for all the controversial issues that have to do with initiation, I should do MSC handle those very well. And if there is any other issue that we might have to provide information, we can provide information in writing. The total number of EAs and GAs that will be finally paid today, we can provide that information and we'll send it straight to the chairperson, as well as the infrastructure at Ititaban. We are going to be sending that information to the committee if the committee is agreeable with that. And in those few, Chair, I would say the detail of it, I should think the MSC has dealt substantially, but also on our side, we just wanted to provide an evidence-based reporting on all the aspects of items that were outstanding. Thank you a lot, Chair.
No, thank you very much to both the provinces. DM, can I, do you have something to add on top of that?
No, Chair, I think the two MECs covered almost everything. Yes, there's an issue about that was raised by Honorable Morote on the safety in schools. Really, this one is something that we need to work together. Like I indicated that our budget is so stressed that it cannot cater for all what we would love. Just imagine a situation where we say now the safety, not school safety in terms of bullying and whatever, but the safety of the infrastructure when we put physical security alarms and all this as a department, it would take, because we have departments of safety in provinces whose responsibility is to take care of government facilities, in safety of government facilities. But they can't extend to schools because of their budget. So same as education, we have a core mandate and we cannot extend your budget beyond your core mandate, and you cannot compromise the core mandate for these other things. Yes, our facilities need to be protected, and we cannot, because the budget to build those facilities come from education. So you can't build a facility and not protect it. But how many facilities do we have? You look, I always compare, say, you have a police station, which is a security system in place to take care of that police station. But around the police station, you have 100 schools. You have a clinic, one clinic that caters for villages. In the four villages, you have 25 schools. So that's why the matter is too complex, but we are going to discuss it and see how best can we protect the facilities, because they must go beyond the lifespan of the children that are at school. Some schools are 100 years old. They service generations and generations to come. And that's what we want our schools to do. But we will work on that one, not alone. Together, we'll also seek advice from members of the portfolio committee, because you know our budget. Our budget, before it gets approved by Parliament, it passed through you. You know exactly how much the department, the sector receives, and that we cannot go beyond what we have as a budget. But Chair, thank you very much for this meeting, for calling us to account, which is your core mandate also, to call us to account. And you help us big time. There are things that may be on the blind spot of the department, but when you as members go down there, you are able to pick such issues, and we have to correct those issues that you have identified. I want to thank all members for their contributions, comments, and the questions asked. And those questions, we are not undermining them, because they are helping us to plan for the future. So we are always looking forward for members to support us and to lead and open our eyes through questions, both oral and written replies. Thank you so much, Chair.
No, thank you very much, DM, to yourself and your officials as well. But I must really thank both MECs as well for their commitment, because they are always available when we ask them to come and account to us. They are very consistent. So thank you very much, MECs, and thank you very much to your officials as well. We will continue serving the sector from all directions. I must say thank you very much as well for making sure that you have followed up on the recommendations, and you have tried to respond to all of them. Thank you very much. I am going to allow you now to leave us in the meeting, the department and both provinces, so that we continue with the adoption of the minutes of the previous meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, DM. Thank you, Honourable. Thank you, MEC.
Thank you, Gigi. Thank you so much.
I was on leave, on sabbatical leave today. What kind of a leave is that? Can I please walk
we
you
called
out?
We called you. You were not in the meeting. We called you at some point.
No. I was still making breakfast. I'm back.
No, I'm saying the DG.
Chairperson.
Yes, Honorable Nodada.
Chair, I just wanted to ask, man, that with the things that the provinces are going to send before going to the minutes, né, they must just include, because there's two things that they didn't answer. KZN didn't say anything on dropouts. So if they can send us that when they do make the submission. And then the Eastern Cape didn't say anything about Mount Fletcher Special School, which I think all of us went to. So that when they do submit those reports of Ichitabane, they include those things so that we see what is being done. That was the request I was going to make. My hand was raised. I don't know if you can see it.
Oh, no, my apologies. I could not see your hand. But I think, Mr. Brown, you have taken note of that. You'll just make that follow-up for us as well. Can you flag the minutes?
Chairperson, can you see this? Can you see the minutes now?
I see the minutes, but this is not the minutes. This is the agenda of today.
Just give me 1 second, Chair. I'm so sorry.